Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
So I want to talk today about something that's very, very much on my heart. The Sozo Ministry is the inner healing deliverance ministry of Bethel Church. And what makes us different than a lot of the ministries is our desire to come from kingdom deliverance versus deliverance here. And so one of our main attributes in Sozo is connecting you to the aspects of God, Father God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And so today, I want to talk about something that is very dear to my heart because of my desire to get you connected to the Father. Our life experiences mar our ability to connect. You know, Bill Johnson, over and over and over, he will say, your experiences should not water down the word. If you are not getting healed, you still have to have this conflict inside of, but the word says, he pardons all my iniquities, heals all my diseases, and redeems my life from the pit. And so we have this tension between, and I love what you did today, it's like this tension between I believe and I'm not sure. Don't we live in that, right? Two of us live in that. But in that place of, you know, we look at the word of God and we're like, but God, it's not seeming to work in this way. You just have to press through because his word is true. I tell people, if you read the word of God and don't believe it, one of you is wrong. I understand this. I'm dealing with a long-term issue that doesn't seem to want to bow to the healing power of Jesus. But he is my healer. You live in this tension, right? And the enemy wants you to go to self-pity. He wants you to go to, you know, why isn't this working for me? Do I have to do better? Do I have to work harder? No, it's a gift. And then you hear it's a gift, and then you're like, well, where's my gift? Am I on the naughty list and Santa didn't send me one? I don't understand how it all works in the spirit realm. I just know that his presence is the greatest gift. And when I'm in the presence like this morning, anything can happen. You know, and I just start speaking to the issue in my life, and I'm just like, yes, yes, Jesus, every cell in my body, you need to vibrate to the truth that he is here. Well, what I find out so many times is that our experiences with our earthly family affects how we view God. And I won't go through all the technical parts of this, but I can prove to you that you can know Jesus and have been with him years and years and years, and you still carry an orphan spirit. Unless you step through him to the Father. You know, how many of you were born? We know how this works. You have a male and female, and you get born, right? Every one of you in here has a father. It's not that you don't have a father because you're here. It's the absence of him in your daily life that makes you an orphan. So Jesus comes to show us the Father, and then we're like, I can prove to you in Scripture that you can be very close with Jesus and still carry an orphan spirit. But we owe the world an experience with our God. You need to look different than the world. And it's not fake. It's like, now, hallelujah, glory. And then you go home and beat your kids. You have to be different than the world. Why? Because we have access to the Father. And you're like, yeah, we get that. No. I don't think most people do because of our experiences with our earthly fathers. And I think it's interesting because we look at this in John 4, 8 through 11. I think it's going to come up here. And Philip says, Lord, show us the Father. Yeah. You know, and I can just see Jesus going, oy vey. Like, come on. Have I not been with you so long and you still say, show me the Father? He says, I came, right, as a direct representation of the Father. Let's read it here. And Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. They have been walking with Jesus, and they still don't know the Father. They see Jesus, but they're not, we don't know about this Father God. Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? And the words I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his work. But I think sometimes the relationship we have with our earthly Father keeps us at the door of Jesus. You know, Jesus is just all right for me. Did you ever get that song? You probably didn't get that song here. Okay. And my husband coined this phrase, stepping through the door of Jesus. It's like we can stand at the door of Jesus and carry fingerprints of an orphan spirit. But Jesus came. He tore the veil. So it's not just the priest anymore that gets to go before the Father. You get to go before the Father. Why is it important that we get to the Father? Because the Father gives us identity. Do you know who you are? Yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, you're a Christian, but you're a Christian that has a Father in heaven, Abba Father. Do you know how brave you are when you realize my daddy's got my back? Step out. You're like, I don't think so. Because I'm afraid I'm going to get in trouble because there's no one behind me. Fear is a fingerprint of an orphan spirit. And you're like, oh, it's not possible that we can be with Jesus all the time. Okay, let's look at this. How about the disciples on the boat? Mark 4, 35 through 41 and Luke 8, 22 through 25. They are afraid they're going to drown. And my brain is very pictorial. You have to understand that four of these guys are fishermen. When they say we're going to drown, it's not like Donna on a boat. Oh, I'm going to drown. No, these are like, don't you care, we're going to drown. And they say to Jesus, don't you care, we're going to drown. In a whole other sermon I do, he's in peace. And I can just see them saying, you know, Peter tried to walk on water, didn't work for him. You can walk on water, but we are going to drown. Fear is a fingerprint of an orphan spirit. And then my brain even goes more to that. It's like when Jesus gets up and he speaks to the storm and one of them says, hush, be still. One says, peace, be still, the translations. And then what happens? They're even more afraid. Who is this that the winds and waves obey him? These are disciples. They've been with Jesus all this time. But they haven't stepped through Jesus to the Father. And so they're still afraid. Yeah, they have a big brother. Yeah, they have someone that they love. Yeah, they've seen miracles, but they're like, yeah, but I don't know about this. And Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. Yeah. He's like, wake up, see the Father. We have to get to the Father, or we will carry fingerprints of an orphan spirit. And the orphan spirit rules the world. Do not let it rule your home. Do not let it rule your city. Unbelief is a fingerprint of an orphan spirit. You're like, well, where did the disciples not believe? Well, let's think about feeding the 5,000. I want you to feed them. And they're like, Do you know that poverty always looks at what you don't have? And Jesus says, what do you have? Do you know a spirit of adoption? Is this is what I have. You know what's really funny? Is the disciples get chewed out by Jesus the second time around. They didn't. He says, don't you remember what we did? And how much was brought back? Lack. fear of provision is an orphan spirit. And you're like, some of you are like, oh, she needs to shut up now. You know, my husband teaches on this stuff so much because he's the finance guy. He retired from Bethel after 25 years of doing the CFO, but he teaches on the prosperity, but from a place of your heart. Beloved, I pray that you all prosper, right? Even as your soul prospers. You mean good health and prosper. And my husband would say to you, technique will never overcome belief. So if we don't have the belief that our daddy is going to provide, we will circle back to looking at lack. Remember when Y2K was supposed to hit? Right? And they're like, you have to, you know, the computers are going to go, are going to crash, and you have to have all this stuff. We're not going to have water. We're not going to. And my husband, like, what do we do? We don't know, because people are saying it's going to. And we're like, I don't know. And my husband prayed to the Lord, and he said, I don't care what you do, but I want you to do it in faith. He didn't tell us yes or no. So my husband's like, well, what would faith look like? And we weren't sure. And we didn't want to spend a lot of money on maybe generators and things that you may or may not need. So I can remember we got these packets of macaroni and cheese, right? And then we opened them up and we stuck them in, and we had this big container like this of macaroni and cheese and put the packets of cheese in it. You know, later the story as we threw most of that away, right? Yeah, okay. All right. But I'm like, we don't know, Lord. And so we're going to do this. And so my little boy is like, Mom, if Y2K is real, right, we can feed the whole neighborhood with this. And I'm like, no, Timmy, this is just for us. It's not enough. Poverty, orphan. You know what he says to me? Well, Mom, we just need to open the lid and then God will do the rest. Adoption. Do you view your life through lack? I can't, I won't, it'll never. It's an orphan spirit. And yet, we can call out Abba Father. But you have a father, and you're like, yeah, I know I have a father, but do you get to him every day? It's not that you were born with by having this moment with Mom. It's getting through him, Jesus, every day to the Father. Arrogance, self-reliance, that's a fingerprint of an orphan spirit. Why? You're a self-made man. Right? Nobody did it for me but me. I didn't have anyone to do it for me, so I did it for me. You're like, well, where was that? Think about Peter. Hey, Jesus, even if all these yahoos deny you, I won't. And Jesus says, actually, you're going to deny me three times. Peter, I can do it. Have you ever stood on your own and go, I can do this? No, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. But self-sufficiency and self-reliance, yeah, it makes you feel powerful. But actually, there's always someone more powerful than you. There's always someone faster, quicker. And it's a fingerprint of an orphan spirit. And the disciples were with Jesus all the time, and they still had the fingerprints. It's proof that I can be with Jesus, and Jesus and I can have this great relationship. But if I do not step through him daily to the Father, the fingerprints will come through. One more, just in case you don't believe me. Competition and jealousy. I remember one time one of our regional facilitators, he just like died, he just like, whoo, oh, there he is. And then we're stuck with this area in the world that has no facilitator. And we're like, well, what do we do? And I talked to Bill and I said, you know, we don't really know the people he's been training. We're going to go over and meet him, but we don't know who to pick. And he said this, he said, Donna, in the absence of a father, the children will vie for control. Yeah. Look for a father. And we grabbed a father. And we got there, and they're like, who's going to be in charge? And we're teaching, we teach, and we teach. And I'm like, oh, this is exactly what Bill was saying. Who's the father in this place? And it wasn't someone who was already teaching. It was someone who carried the mantle of a father. So let's think about that. I think we can look at an orphan and go, oh, I know what an orphan is. An orphan is someone who's scared. An orphan is someone who's like, I have to stick up for myself. But there's two types of orphans. There's the powerless orphan that life happens to me. There's no one that can back me up. But there's a powerful orphan, and I call it a bully. See, we have a lot more disdain for the victim. Oh, you know, it's like, oh, just get up. Stop it. Sometimes I just want to say, pull your hand back and let go. Just slap yourself. But the powerful orphan is a bully. Well, if you just knew what I knew, you wouldn't act like that. If you just had the revelation I had, you'd be healed by now. Orphan. Oh, we just shake that off. It's okay that I'm real? I have a friend that says, you know, church is a series of 52 life-changing messages a year that never change your life. Good. Because you applaud. And you forget at lunchtime what they said. And you don't apply it to your life. Well, today we're going to apply this to your life. We're going to do a prophetic act when I'm done. And we're going to step through Jesus to the Father. If we realize this, how many of you've heard over and over and over, Abba Father, that he came with the spirit of adoption. Has anyone heard this? How many of you will not raise your hand no matter what I say? The spirit of adoption is right there, Abba Father. But so many of us, because of our experience, has marred our belief of what our earthly fathers were like. And so we stay at Jesus because he's safe. Yeah. Because somehow in the midst of our messed up life, we had enough courage or enough pain to reach up and say yes to Jesus. But don't stop at the door of Jesus. I mean, I could give a whole sermon about this with the Holy Spirit because I'm like, Holy Spirit, woohoo, yeah. Love the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit doesn't give me identity. The Holy Spirit gives me power because of Jesus, right? So, why don't we step through Jesus to the Father? Maybe your father used to physically beat you. And so you're here at Jesus and you're like, Jesus is going to protect me, but I don't know about that guy up there. And by the way, I've read all of the Old Testament and he like smited people a lot. But Jesus said, I came to show you the Father, the heart of the Father. I was doing a conference in Sozo Conference, and the drug and alcohol guys had to come. It was part of their weekend. And this one guy came. I wrote about it in my Sozo book. He's this really big biker guy, and I talk about he had tats everywhere and basketball-sized muscles. And he was my catcher. So if people fell, he'd catch them. And I thought, oh, this is awesome. You get a big guy like that catching, no one's going to fall through it, right? And I'm praying, and I'm just kind of praying, and he's with me. And I see him start to cry. And then he's like, and then he closes his eyes. And I'm thinking, oh, that's not a good catcher. open your eyes. So they pull him aside, give me another guy. And when I'm done, I walk over. I said, what's going on? He says, I came, I knew this Jesus guy. This is real. This is right off the drugs and alcohol. I knew this Jesus guy. He saved me. I got in this program. He says, and after this weekend, I get this Holy Spirit thing. So, but I do not understand the Father. And I'm like, can you close your eyes and see Jesus? I see him. We're like this. He's right here. And I said, ask Jesus this. Say, Jesus, would you take me to your Father? And he went like this. And I said, Father God will never strike you. And this big, burly man hits the ground. This gut-wrenching sob comes out, and he's in a fetal position. And I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I broke him. And I get down on my hands and knees. I'm like, is this a good cry or a bad cry? Father God is holding me. And we write in the book, he stood an orphan and hit the ground an adopted son. His dad used to beat him. So I'm going to stay at Jesus. We're buddies. That guy's really scary. Maybe your father belittled you all the time. Hilarious story the Lord had me just think of today. I have a friend that was in an area where there's a lot of snow, and he was called as a pastor to get to somebody's house to pray, and he didn't have time to get all the snow off of his car, and I don't know how this works because we don't have hardly any snow, but he said you can actually get a ticket if you don't clean off all the snow on your car because it can make a mess, right? So he's driving to get to this house because there's some emergency, and a police officer pulls him over. He's like, oh, great. And the guy comes, and he's trying to say, I'm trying to get here. And the guy's like, ticket, ticket, give me your stuff. And he's just being gruff with him. And he hears, tell him something. He's like, I am not going to tell a police officer something. And the Lord say, tell him you ain't just trash. He's like, no way am I going to tell the police officer who's writing me a ticket. And the Lord's like, tell him now. And he says under his breath, you ain't no trash boy. He said, what did you say to me? He said, God says you ain't just trash boy. And he starts to sob. And he said, all his life, his dad told him he was trash. And on his dad's deathbed, his dad said, you'll always be trash boy. Maybe you fear what Papa will say. But Jesus is a direct representation of the Father. Shame can keep you from the Father. I've seen it time and time again. It's like, you know, and then there's this sense too. It's like, yeah, Jesus loves me because he has to. That's his job. But does he like you? That's interesting, huh? How many of you think Jesus actually likes you? That's awesome, because a lot of us know he loves us because it's his job. It's what he paid for. But does he like hanging out with me? Yeah, I don't know. And shame can keep us from the Father. And I was actually in your country years ago, and I was preaching about this, and I was about to leave, and my team was like, come on, we got to go. But we had a prayer line. I'm like, I want to pray. And this beautiful girl comes to me, and she's just sobbing. I'm like, what's going on? And she says, I can't get to the Father. I'm like, I do this every day. I can do that. You know, I know how this works. Jesus, you know, it's sozo ministry. I can get you to the Father. No big deal. And she goes, you don't understand. I can't get to him. I can see him. I can't get to him. I said, well, how come? She goes, because I'm a lesbian. And I can't get to him because it's wrong. He made me gay. And I can't get to him. But I know a secret she doesn't know. Identity comes from the Father. And if I can get you to the Father, we can solve this lie you're believing. Does our world not need the Father? I'm a boy. I'm a girl. I get to choose. Get to the Father. And I'm like, okay, it's okay. She goes, you don't understand. And she's ashamed to get to the Father, which tells me she's been in church because she knows that there's sin versus it doesn't matter, right? I can't get to the Father. And I literally saw Father God reach out, pick her up, and put her on his lap. Yeah. So I'm like, ha, ha, ha. We're going to solve this problem. Because the lie is he made her gay. I'm like, great, I know how this works. Get you the Father, we'll solve this. Yeah. So I said, okay, can you see him? Yes, he's way over there, I told you. Okay, shame. I can't get to him. Pause. I do think sin separates us from God. But I don't think it separates him from you. Yeah. Sin makes us hide. Sin makes us turn away. Shame comes upon us. How did you get saved? Were you perfect? No. He grabbed you and pulled you to him. So I'm like, okay, fine. I said, close your eyes. Can you see it? And I said to her, ask him this. Can I crawl up on your lap? And, you know, my brain is thinking, can I just crawl up on your lap? But her brain is like, can I grovel and crawl up on your lap? Because there's a perception twist in this shame. And she said, he said, no. And I'm like, ooh, that's a wrong answer. I'm thinking, God, don't you know how sozo works? She said, he just picked me up and put me on his lap. And my team's like, we need to go. And I'm like, I want to deal with this issue. So I'm like, okay. So I'm starting to say, God, did you make me gay? I want her to repeat that. I want her to hear identity comes from the Father. We can solve this lie that she's been told. And I start to ask that, and God's like, hold. And I hear myself say, Father God, what do you think of me? And she just crumples. She's just sobbing. He says, I'm beautiful. He says, I'm lovely. Yeah. Yeah. Identity comes from the Father. And then I'm thinking, my team is like, seriously, we need to go. And I'm like, wait, we haven't solved the issue. And I start to do it again, and I hear myself say something else instead. I don't remember what it was to this day. And then we're at the very end. My team is like trying to pull me out the door. And I'm like, wait, I'm going to solve this issue. And I'm about to have her ask, God, did you make me gay? And I hear Father God say, Donna, stop it. Don't you think she and I can sort this out while she's on my lap? We got to let our agendas go when we try to introduce people to the Father. And I heard myself say, ask him, can I come back to your lap whenever I want? And she heard, yes. Spending time with the Father changes who you are. You will watch fear bow. You will watch unbelief go. Jealousy, self-sufficiency, all of that stuff. It doesn't get to come through to the Father. And you will see it disappear. So because we want this to change your life, we're going to do a prophetic act. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, out loud, Holy Spirit. Do I carry any fingerprints of an orphan spirit? If you heard yes or you know yes, stand up and we're going to pray. Remember that it's not about knowing there's a Father God. It's about getting to him. To hear what he says about you. And I want you to stand as close as you can to your seat, because we're going to step in a minute. And I want you to just, we used to call it assume the position. You kind of put your hands out, you know. But I want you to just say out loud, Jesus, I repent. I've been beholding you and missing that you represent the Father. Wow. And some of you might need to actually have Jesus take your hand. But say, so Jesus, take my hand. And would you take me to your Father? Wow. And then I want you to prophetically step forward through Jesus to the Father. And I want you to just say, Papa God, what do you want to tell me? He really is better than you think.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, newma.church. Thank you for listening.